Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome to Democratic Perspective again. This morning we have with us Dr. Alvarez, Dr. J.C. Alvarez. Dr. Alvarez, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. I want to text us and make sure that we got a connection before we proceed. We're doing this high technology stuff here. But I want to tell you a little bit about Dr. Alvarez. I mean, we're going to talk about the film school, talk about the Sedona Film School. And we're going to talk about the Zaki design, and Dr. Alvarez has a lot of insight into this. I want to give you a little bio on J.C. Alvarez here real quickly. We could fill the 45 minutes with her accomplishments and skills and education. But, I mean, you know, we're talking a B.A. from Princeton, an M.A. from Columbia, and, you know, a E.D.D. from Northern Illinois University, where she got a doctorate. And a filmmaking certification and public relations and a lot of she even got a teaching certificate somewhere in there and a principal certificate, by the way. I had one of those. Anyway, so
and notably a degree from the Sedona Film School.
Yeah, exactly. So we got Mike Cosentino here and Gary LeMaster talking to J.C. Alvarez, and we're going to talk about Sedona Film School, and quite frankly, we're going to try to get to Yavapai College's why they're trying to kill it, or have killed it, I guess, would be the...
Have moved it, as I understand.
Oh, moved it, that's right. Well, they killed it in Sedona.
Right.
Well...
yeah, they killed it in Sedona.
At least for now.
So let's... Now, go ahead, Dr. Alvarez. I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to let you kind of take the lead here, and then we'll see what we'll pull you out when we think we need more information. Why?
Well, I actually started with the Zaki Gordon Institute. This was for independent filmmaking. I was in the very first class.
The very first
back
class.
In 2000, 2001.
I see.
It was a 9-month intensive experiential learning program. That's what I'd call it.
Yeah,
it took
somebody
like me and a lot of students like me who have never done any video work, never done any film work, and in 9 months, you turned us into a filmmaker. And basically, the way they did it was by making a new film, every single week. It was a very, very intensive program, it was hands-on learning.
I talked to some former students that just loved it. I mean, these are young people, young men and women I've known since birth, mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. I would not have seen the filmmaker in them as it is.
How many people were in that first class?
There were 20 of us. We started with 20. A couple of people dropped out. I think we ended up with about 18. It's a challenging program, and it's not designed for everyone. Really, filmmaking, of all the things I've ever done, and I've been in a lot of different businesses. I worked in Washington, D.C. for 10 years in politics. I worked in the beer business for 10 years for Anheuser-Busch.
Dr. Alvarez, are you speaking into the phone?
Yes, uh-huh. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm not speaking loud enough.
Yeah.
I said I worked in D.C. for 10 years in politics. In Washington, D.C. I worked in the beer business for 10 years for Anheuser-Busch.
Ah.
And of all the businesses, and of course I worked in education, of all the things I've ever done, I think filmmaking is probably the one business that really requires the most collaboration. So it can be very challenging for people who, you know, look at the idea of independent filmmaking as, oh, I'm just going to do it by myself. You really can't. And so some people, they get into the film school and they decide, I just don't work and play well with others. So you have people who occasionally drop out, but for those who stay in, it is really an intensive learning program. The learning curve is so high, so fast, but they can graduate you in 9 months. This is what I try to point out to people. Right. They can graduate you in 9 months ready to work in the industry.
And they have. And that don't they have a history, or didn't they have a history of that?
Yes, actually, we did a survey this past year, and we were able to contact 75% of the 290 students that had graduated in the 14 years of the film school. 66% of those students went on to work in the industry.
Holy crap.
Some of them stayed, some of them didn't, but 66%, that's unbelievable.
From this little film school out here at the end of the highway here.
Absolutely.
That's
not
amazing.
Only that, I have to brag a little.
Sure.
We actually have had two student films out of our 9-month program, two student films that actually were nominated for the Student Academy Awards, Student Oscars.
That's pretty amazing, so, out of a little community college. And
it's, you know, when you're competing with students from USC, UCLA, NYU, I try and explain that in 9 months, and at the cost at the time that I went, anywhere from $4,000 to $7,000 if you're an in-state student. It's more if you're an out-of-state student, but even still, in 9 months, and that cost, you can actually have a film, a student thesis film that can actually compete with a 4-year, $200,000 program at USC and UCLA. That's unbelievable.
You, as long as we're talking about success stories with the program, you had mentioned to me prior to the show a story about a student that from the film school that went to SMU. Could you remind me?
Oh, yes. That was Daniel Maitland. And actually, he left Zaki. He worked in the industry for about a year. He was back in Dallas, and he decided, well, I'm going to go ahead and complete my 4-year degree. He went to Southern Methodist University, and within 3 months of getting there, they offered him a job teaching, just based on what he learned in 9 months. He said, I was a rock star. I got there, and he said, I knew more than the graduate students in filmmaking.
Wow.
So
well, tell us,
that's because they learn it hands-on.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Tell us about your presentation to the Yavapai College Board.
Well, what happened was I wanted to, you know, I came back. I flew into Sedona.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me interrupt, make it clear so we got the story that we're talking about this. You're talking about this fabulous film school for that we had right outside of Sedona, that the Yavapai College Board has decided to discontinue in Sedona.
Right.
And they
call it sunsetting.
Sunsetting.
it's a nice word for closing.
Right. We're going to close you slowly. I mean, they had the building, you know, they're getting rid of the equipment. They've laid off all the staff. It was my understanding that, you know, there are going to be no more classes there. There is a history of film noir that's being given in the Verde campus and Prescott, which while that might be interesting, I'm not sure that's going to get anybody a job in the industry, but yeah. You can call it anything you want. They're closing it.
As an update, I was in a meeting yesterday where we learned that the Sedona campus is, for now at least, not going to be sold. And they have worked out an arrangement with the landowner next door to be able to access the land they already own to, in a land exchange to put in an access road so they would have parking. But as of today, there are no plans for any programs at the Sedona campus other than Ollie.
Yeah, when I went to journalism school, negative headlines were man doesn't bite dog, you know, that's not a headline. But in this case, it was a headline in the local newspaper, two or three of them, that, you know, Sedona campus not sold was headline news, because it certainly looked like the Yavapai College Board was packing up. They're, not only did they close the film school, they canceled all the classes, and they're going to sell the campus, and they're going to concentrate their efforts in Prescott.
And I should explain, for those who don't know, that OLLI is the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute, and that's a program for people who are my age who want to, you know, keep on experiencing new things.
Well, there's little charge and no credit. Then that's not exactly a job. A forward-looking life learning thing.
It's not the role of a traditional community college, which is you know intended to, you know, get people started on their academic way and to help them get the skills needed.
Which
to
is exactly
find
what
jobs.
The film school did.
Exactly.
Exactly. That's what I just don't understand. I mean, they can say they're not selling it, but I believe that they forgot to put the word "yet" in there because I do not. You know, you can take everything away and then say, well, you don't actually have any classes there. So the building is taking up space and we can't really justify it.
I got some sense that there was some friction between the director of the film school and the administration of the college. Is that just in my own perception or do you have any knowledge of that?
You mean the current director of the film school? Because it's...
I thought the previous one. I thought the
yeah,
one.
Yeah, there was a little conflict, and she left at the start of this past year. Yeah, she did.
Well, no, it seems like one of our guests previously talked about a crisis in management, not a crisis in enrollment. And I tend to agree with that. This is a chicken and egg thing, like you just mentioned, Dr. Alvarez, that if you have programs, then you'll have students. If you cancel programs, then you won't have students. And then you can say, well, gee, there's no students. After you've canceled a program or you've limited offerings, then, yeah, enrollment goes down.
Well, and you also have to spend money on recruitment.
Recruitment,
and you have
exactly.
to spend money on marketing and building relationships. Do you know how many recruiters they have for the entire college?
I don't.
One.
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 For five campuses, by the way. You know, at least they had five campuses.
Well, yeah. I mean, what are they doing on this side of the hill? It goes yeah. back to the issue for me is bigger than the film school.
Yes.
Now, and during the 2 weeks before I made my presentation, I interviewed a lot of people. This is what I happen to do for a living now. I work for a company that works in corporate strategic planning and marketing. And so what we do is we go through the communities, we look at data, and we put a plan together. And what it occurred to me as I was interviewing people is that the college didn't have a strategic plan for what they were doing on this side of the hill. Now, basically what I've been told is, well, the Verde Valley didn't have a plan, so we didn't put any classes there. Well, that's like saying, you know, I'm a mom and dad, and my younger two kids I'm not feeding them because they didn't ask me for food. You know, that makes about as much sense. I mean, they're the parent company, and basically they just ignored.
Well, they're more than the parent company now. They run the Verde Valley campus. They run all their campuses from Prescott. So,
right.
I mean, it wasn't as if there was leadership assigned to come up with any kind of plan, or it was in their job description. There are no one of my complaints, if I can, I'll put it in here again, is that they fired or laid off or moved all of the leadership on the Verde Valley campus and the Sedona campus, and have been running the thing from Prescott. And
right.
those people were crucial because they were in the community. They showed up at the meetings. They were the face of Yavapai College. You talk about recruitment. They were recruitment. Absent an actual recruiter, somebody that went to organizations and said, hey, we have these wonderful programs. The people in your sphere of influence should be interested and ought to be interested or might be interested in these things. All those people are gone. So you had no advocate with Prescott, first of all, for any programs down here at the Verde Valley campus and the Sedona campus.
And I mean, they have an administrator, but basically they have clipped his wings in just about every way possible. And, you know, so it's a matter of job survival. I didn't get the sense he was at all empowered, nor... was given any real authority.
Oh, no,
he's
he was, yeah, as an, he, wonderful person, and we had we have a wonderful person on people on the Verde Valley campus, but the Clarkdale campus, but the decisions were all made elsewhere. The gentleman you're talking about had no decision making power on the Sedona campus, as do not the people at the Verde Valley campus. So that's what we mean by running the place. Yeah, there were people that, and there still are people that took care of things, but all the curriculum decision making, all the dean, all the provost, all the financials, all the things that really make an institution, were clipped a long time ago. It was a two or three, 4 year process as they consolidated the operation in Prescott and Prescott Valley. And, to be fair, I guess, which is not something I like to do, but they're looking at population growth in Prescott Valley. And that's where they want to concentrate their efforts. They're going to say, but we have evidence that their budget has not changed. They're dealing, they got a $55 million budget. They've managed, and good on them, to maintain a $55 million budget. So it's not like, yes, the state effort, the state support for the school has declined, but via other sources, the budget has remained somewhat in the same ballpark as it's always been. So,
but then how much of that budget that they're counting on comes from this side of the hill?
Yeah, we got between 12 and 20 million, I guess.
It's about 40%, I understand. You know, one of the things that they cited, as I understand it, in closing the program, and it's the same thing they have for the programs that they've moved out of the Clarkdale campus, is declining enrollment. But when I look at your numbers, when you said there were 290 graduates in 14 years, that's an average of more than 20 per class. And having taught as an adjunct in a large university, 20 in a class is a significant program. That's my classes ranged from 13 to I think 22 was the max. So in my view, that would be a fairly successful program.
Yes, absolutely. And you have to understand, it runs on a minimal staff. The first few years, it was run with one or two people who served as administrators and teachers. They carried both roles. So sometimes I hear them talk about how much it cost them to run that program, and a lot of times when you're looking at how much it costs to run a program, 80% of the money is in staffing.
Right.
But you don't have that at the film school.
Some people listening to this may think that, the film school is kind of a narrow audience and doesn't have a lot of, broad applications. It's not a traditional college program. But I think, just in looking at your own resume and having worked in the film industry myself, what would you say about the extent of or the application of the skills you learn in a film school that can be applied in other ways?
Well, what you need to look at, and I go to conferences and I hear, about this, we have moved away from the studios having all the power. Digital media has brought that into the hands of the common person. And there are new we're going to eventually move away even from cable TV because people are going to get their entertainment on the web. Ricky Gervais, Hank Azaria, all these people have their own TV shows on the web. They're opening up their new web channels. They are looking for content. They're looking for the next big show. And any one of these students who goes to film school can turn this into a job, can turn it into a script that they write, a movie that they make, a web series. Daniel Maitland, the gentleman that I talked about that went to SMU, he is working on a $300,000 a year TV show, where he is going around the country interviewing very unique American companies. And where is the show? It's on the web. It's on the web. Now, how can you take a $5,000 a year program and have him trainable and ready that he could go out and get a $300,000 a year job?
Wow.
That's amazing.
The other thing that's
the kind of stuff that's accessible to them. That's what I'm trying to point out.
The other thing that you mentioned is the collaboration. I think having worked in the film industry, I agree that's what I loved about it. It's the most collaborative thing that I can imagine. And there's such an energy of talented, smart people working together to make a great product. That was, amazing to me. But that ability and desire to collaborate, I think, works across anything you do, any business that you happen to go into, along with the communication skills that you learn and being able to be critical about something that's going on in the project without, really stepping on toes and crossing, egos.
Right, right. You have to be sort of part director, part therapist when you're dealing with actors. You have to be business person because you got to manage a budget. I mean, you have to be a detail-oriented person because you have to be able to listen to sound and look at the camera and the lighting. Those are all the skills that they're teaching.
Speaking of sound, Dr. Velma, speaking of sound, make sure you're modulating evenly, as we say.
Okay.
Please stay on the phone. Let me read real quickly. This is from your presentation to the board. 66, this is kind of a recap, but I want to say it all at once. 66% mm-hmm. went to work in the industry. Job ready in 9 months. And not for $8 an hour. We're talking $20 an hour and up if you're mm-hmm. in an hourly mode in the film industry. You beat mm-hmm. Disney. A student film at Sedona Film School made in 9 months, beat out a Disney film in competition. Student Academy Awards, student film nominated for Student Academy Awards, student Oscars by the Academy. This is competing with all of those four-year programs you talked about, like the famous one at USC and UCLA. Mm-hmm. And people that took 4 years to complete. It seems like Yavapai College had this legacy program, this thing that would have been something for a lifetime, and they nipped it in the bud. They just said, oh, this is too successful. We've got to get rid of this. I mean, this is this is like some sort of mean stepfather, keeping like Harry Potter. We'll put him under the stairs and we'll just, we'll give him a tissue for his birthday and a few. I don't get it.
I don't understand. They had tremendous momentum. They had a bad year this year because of the conflict that they had with the prior administrator and the recruitment and whatever. There were questions about that, and I'm not saying they didn't have a challenging year this year. That being said, they still, and that's what was explained to me back in the fall, because when I heard about this administrator abandoning, jumping ship, I came and offered to come and work here.
Wow.
Because I believe in the school that much.
And so you got
I believe in it so much so that when I did my dissertation for my doctorate, I actually did it on the film school.
Is that right?
That I did. I was so impressed. I mean, the quality of the education that I got there, without a doubt, probably was on par with some of the finest Ivy League education, and I've had it.
And
it was fantastic.
And you credit the design of the instruction of the,
yes,
this whole 9 month
yes,
process and the hands-on, whoever put this together or however it was collaborated and put together, it was a good working thing.
It was a good working model. They also had very, very competent teachers. The people that they had there were extremely committed to, getting students across the finish line. And it's a draining program. There wasn't a question about that. You really, the instructor, when you're serving as an instructor / administrator, and you're trying to manage these students, which can be a little intense and emotional over 9 months when you're working almost 7 days a week. But they were very committed. Jeremy Hawks, Brian Reinhardt, you know, Stephen Chelsea when I was there. I mean, they were tireless, tireless in their efforts.
Well,
and then they were coordinating bringing people in from L.A. in the industry to basically teach workshops on the weekend to continue that high quality of education. And when I saw the films at the film festival back in May, I was so impressed at the quality, at the level at which they were being shot. I almost thought, yeah, I need to go back to film school. because the industry, you know, if you're not constantly training, you know, and you have to, because the cameras change, the way they shoot changes. It was fantastic. I was extremely impressed.
So once again, Little Sedona had, as it often does, attracts a number of highly qualified people that said, hey, there's a film school here I could help out or I could work in. And here they were, and they invited their friends and acquaintances and contacts from the Mecca, from Los Angeles, and raising the bar even higher for the Sedona students, and
absolutely
had this wonderfully working thing going here.
You know, we also had old people and young people. We had a lady, and one of the stories that I did, I wrote a series for the Red Rock News. They were kind enough to publish it. That, you know, with success stories, because part of what I was told is that the college just didn't think we actually had, really, there weren't any success stories to be told. And I knew that there were. I mean, we have a lady who started film school at 55, ML Lincoln. Her, she had an award-winning film, and her latest feature film, actually, she was able to get Robert Redford in it.
Wow.
So it's like, now she's been in the business 10 years, all on what she learned at the film school.
You know, honestly, had I known more about it, because I've been here 8 years and I don't live in Sedona proper. I live in Cornville. There was very little marketing or information available about the film school. I knew there was one, but I thought it was a 4-year program. But had I known, it's something I would have been interested in because, you know, I've always had a desire to, I've done lots and lots of films and in the advertising world, but, I've always wanted to do documentaries, and I've always felt like I didn't have the technical expertise to do that. I can write, but I didn't have the technical skills to do that. So I would have been very interested in it. But
sure. Well, since we're confessing here, I'm a little younger than you, but I would have done the same thing. And the idea is that there's, and I want to connect this to our overall discussion, there's 550 people in the OLLI program, 550 senior citizens, I guess we'd call them.
Mostly,
and that's what OLLI is marketed toward. Like I said, no credit, low cost. You just pay administrative fees. But there's 550 people. A lot of those folks are in that program. Not that OLLI's not a wonderful program, but there's nothing else. We had a retirement college here. We had other programs targeted at what is a lot of our population here, and those are all gone. So I think OLLI is huge because there is nothing else.
There's obviously a need. Dr. Alvarez, maybe we could talk about the impact on the film industry in Arizona. You know, I know that Arizona has been struggling to bring, you know, major motion picture production into the state because they basically did away with the film board or you know, cut the tax credits as well. Those films bring millions and millions of dollars each one into the state. Wouldn't this program have had an impact on that and be able to provide some of the expertise that the film companies need locally?
Well, if you take a look at what's happening in New Mexico right now, Robert Redford partnered with a young man who did the movie Smoke Signals, and they collaborated together. They got the community colleges on board and the state, and they developed a program. I'm not sure about the academics of it, but basically where they are training people in, you know, all the technical skills that they need to have, and they're moving them right from there into these film productions that they're bringing to New Mexico. This is what happens when you have a vision and you say, you know, we're going to partner with, you know, the state, we're going to partner with the film industry, and, you know, we're going to take these people and in 9 months have them ready to move right into these productions. Part of what has to happen in order for a film to come to Arizona is they have to know that they can have skilled people who can work their crews. Well, that's what they did. It's a tremendous model. And right now, there's a lot of excitement about that. So why we didn't have that vision, or why we didn't kind of capitalize on that, you know, and we could have continued going, you know, to move our students in 9 months right into some of these productions. You know, that's the way you draw the industry. You have to be able to partner.
And the industry has special needs in order to bring a movie into a state, but mm-hmm. but everybody in the state benefits. That's what I think gets lost. I was the state I moved from cut a film board that had a $150,000 a year budget. And the film board had been responsible for an average of 6 major motion pictures in the state each year, each of them bringing tens of millions of dollars into the state, hiring local people to work on the films, local, you know, people doing the craft services, the food services. There's all sorts of ways that the state benefits. But for that $150,000, the state legislature cut that out of the budget, and all of the film production basically disappeared. And I see the same thing in Arizona. And the mm-hmm. tax credits, because it's such a unique industry, and it's like starting a large corporation, you know, for a very short period of time. You open it and you work intensely, you hire lots and lots of people, and then you close it when the film is done. It has special needs in terms of taxes. It's not the corporate welfare I think a lot of people think it is. And mm-hmm. and I'm really sad to see that with our sunshine and the locations available in the state, everything from forests to desert, it's really sad that this state hasn't taken advantage of that part of the commerce.
Let me change up here, Dr. Alvarez. We're talking to J.C. Alvarez, graduate of the Sedona Film School, and we're talking about the film school's demise as a result of the decisions of the Yavapai College Board. Now, you made a presentation to that board, and I just want you to tell us a little bit. Was it here in Sedona? Did you go to Prescott?
I drove to Prescott.
Okay.
You know, and I have to say, this is, you know, what's so funny is that it takes almost an hour and a half to get to that campus from this side of the hill.
Yes, where they expect everybody down here to take classes.
Yes.
Go ahead.
You know,
yeah.
That's what's so amazing, because they don't like to come over on this side of the hill to this side of the hill for a meeting because it takes too long.
We can use the word absurd, yeah.
Yeah, so, but that's a whole other subject.
Right.
So I went. I was a part of the public forum, if you will. I didn't... as I said, I had done about 2.5 weeks worth of interviews and research so that I could basically present what I would call, you know, a mini strategic plan to point out some of the facts that basically they didn't have a strategic plan. Not, at least not for this side of the hill. I wasn't able to find anybody who could really point to a justification. Unfortunately, that whole process, you get 3 minutes.
Okay.
And not only that, they're not allowed to comment. There is not a person on the board who's allowed to comment on anything that you have to say.
That's
I didn't realize that. I would have put in the same effort anyway, because I like to get to the bottom of issues, and I believe so much in what's happening here. And basically, you know, when your time is up, your time's up. I could have stood and talked to the wall,
right.
And it would have been probably equally effective. After the break, I was able to talk to some of the different board members and try to lobby them a little. One of the things I was told was, well, there may be a film school, but it's definitely not going to be on the Sedona campus. And when I was told that, that really kind of set off an alarm for me. That tells me that they still intend somewhere down the road to sell this campus.
Uh-huh.
And I raise that as a cautionary flag because, you know, if Ollie is all they have left, then that's a problem. You know, that's not enough to justify them keeping the campus open. And I think they intend to keep it that way so they can sell the campus and put the money in Prescott. I think the issue is bigger, though, than the film school closing.
Yeah.
I mean, the issue is, you know, it's the nursing program that's being, you know, taken over to that side of the hill. And yet we're talking about, you know, at least the mayor released something. I saw it in Sedona.biz. You know, that basically said they're looking at expanding 30-acre campus over here next to the current medical center.
Right.
So where's the staffing going to come for the new positions? And why can't it be some of our people who don't have to drive an hour and a half to go to school?
I share your concern for the future of the Sedona campus, because I think the new arrangement with the access road only makes the property more saleable. If we don't keep our eyes on what's going on. The good news is, and there's not a lot, but I think the good news is that there are two initiatives underway. That is, one is Dr. Perry, the dean of the Clarkdale campus, is convening an advisory, it won't be until the fall, I understand, but an advisory committee to look into what programs are necessary, you know, looking at potential curriculum on this side of the mountain. That's strictly, you know, a citizens' input kind of arrangement. The other thing is there is going to be, as I understand it, an advisory board put together by each of the communities on this side of the mountain that will look at every aspect of the Yavapai College, including the funding. So it can look at budget, it can look at, you know, curriculum, et cetera.
But what power is that group going to have? Is it going to be as effective as me putting together a plan and standing up in front of them? And, you know, I'm sorry to be a little skeptical, but I need to know that putting effort into that is actually going to effectuate a change. If they already have in their mind that they're going to sell the Sedona campus, much as my standing there and speaking to the board, you know, you can do all the research in the world, but if they have the Carver model, and that limits their ability to actually effectuate change.
Yeah, I think it's going to be just like your 3 minutes. I think the advisory committees in whatever community is going to be like your 3 minutes before the Yavapai board. It's going to get exactly that reaction, and it's all hype. It got 48-point headlines in the local paper, the fact that Yavapai College was looking for more input via a questionnaire and via these advisory committees.
The questionnaire is a joke, by the way. But
Gary, has anybody gotten the questionnaire yet?
It's available on their website, and
Gary believes it's a little skewed.
To be very blunt, it's amateurish. It's questions about what facilities, you know, that you are aware of and what facilities you use, almost all of them being on the other side of the mountain, and most of which I didn't even know exist. I didn't know they had a sculpture garden over there, et cetera. The only two parts of the questions in the survey of any consequence are at the very end of it. If you you know, are determined enough to see it through that ask you what changes would you make to the college and what recommendations you would make. That's the only real fact-finding out of it. The rest of it, to me, is just like a self-pat on the back to say, look at all these nice facilities we have, and they can use the responses to self-congratulate themselves.
I think it's fair to say that to this skeptical group, this the three people here, that that this is not, this is disingenuous, that this at
well,
least
the college has given us reason to believe, they haven't given us a reason to believe otherwise.
Right.
That's correct.
You know, I mean, if they, whether you get up and present to them or not.
Well, you know, the college had the choice to make things clear under whatever model they operate under. Dr. J.C. Alvarez makes a 3-minute presentation with all kinds of facts, and then they could have put you on the next agenda, and they chose not to do that.
I haven't heard from them yet.
Where they could have, yeah, okay, well, that's a good point. It's how long ago did you do your presentation?
I believe it was the 10th of June.
Okay, so within the last 20-30 days. All right, well, we're certainly looking forward to your invitation to be on the agenda to talk about this very important program that was a success that the school offered here in Sedona, right down the block at this wonderful facility that they provided. That the taxpayers of Sedona, the Verde Valley, and this district provided for the people that live here, I'd like to say that certainly the three people here don't want to see it sold, or we'd like to see it a fully functioning campus to serve the people of Sedona and the Verde Valley.
The point
when I was going to film school, they actually had. In the subsequent years, they actually had technology programs, computer classes. All of that stuff has gone by the wayside. And I try to make a point to the board. People, education is changing in that people, because of the economy, can no longer afford to go to four-year institutions. They have to get out and they have to get a job. One of the young ladies that wrote a letter, she went to the film school. She had gone to high school here in the area, and she went to the film school, and she's now going to a professional-level job in the industry. And she said, there's no way I could have done that. There's absolutely
and that's
not
exactly
way.
The kind of information they need. I want to ask you, Dr. Alvarez, if you have interest in this still, to ask if you have any contacts at the college. Could you ask to get on the regular agenda? Could you, where they actually have to make a decision, where they have to actually make public statements about this school and this campus? And that's where the, like I said, rubber meets the road. When you are on the regular agenda, so if you have any desire, any fight left in you, I guess is what I'm saying.
Well, and it isn't, very honestly, it's not just about the film school. I mean, I believe that this side of the hill needs to be looking, you know, there are several industries. When I go out and I do this corporate work, and right now there's a program, there's research that's happening in California community college systems right now. They had diminished their adult ed programs, and they went out, and right now they are going into the communities. They've split into 75 different groups from one end of the state to the other, and they're basically going into the community, going into
even
the
better,
businesses.
Even better that you can expand it beyond the film school. I'm interrupting you because I'm getting the signal from the technical guy that we're short on time. But we could talk some more. Maybe we could have you back. We'll talk again. But this is Democratic Perspective. We're here 8:15 every Monday morning. And we've been talking to Dr. J.C. Alvarez, speaking about the Sedona Film School.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.